Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give you a quick reminder that I now have a YouTube channel. So all of my podcast episodes are now airing on YouTube first. So if you like YouTube, if you want to see all these episodes in video format, you can find that at youtube.com/@theunconventionalrd. Look forward to having you as a new subscriber, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Unconventional RD Podcast, where we inspire dietitians to think outside of the traditional employment box and create their own unconventional income streams. We'll talk all things online business to help you start, grow, and scale your own digital empire. One of the more common questions I get as an online business owner who creates content is, how do you decide what content you put out for free and what content is paid? If you're putting out a bunch of content on social media, YouTube, a podcast, or blog, why would someone buy from you? Wouldn't giving away all the goods hurt your bottom line? That's the line of questioning that typically comes up when we talk about free versus paid content. So in this video, I'm going to be sharing with you exactly how to decide which pieces of content you put out should be free versus paid. And I just want to assuage your fears. Putting out free content will not kill your sales. Actually, the more you give online, the more people will purchase from you. And the reason for that, honestly, is trust. By giving away high-quality, free content that actually solves your ideal client's problems and emotionally connects with them, they grow to see you as an authority in your space. If you can clearly understand and address their problems and fears with your free content, they're thinking, how great must your paid content be? And what do I mean by paid content? Well, paid content would either be products or services that you offer to people in exchange for money. So some common paid content pieces that people will sell online include online courses, paid membership sites, digital goods like an ebook, maybe paid mentorship sessions with you, or a service like nutrition coaching, or an event like a conference or a retreat, or even something digital that's not involving a person like software or an app. So today I'm going to give you 6 tips for determining which content should be free and which content should be paid. Tip number 1, don't worry about giving away all the goods. You can pretty much give away everything you know for free and still have people buy your paid products and services. And part of this is because the free stuff that you put out is often dripped out in a very piecemeal way. It's not cohesive. People still have to do a decent amount of work to like dig through all your content, try to put it together themselves into some sort of actionable plan. And this is where the value of your paid offerings come in. If you're offering a digital good, for example, like an ebook or a cheat sheet or a checklist or templates, usually what you're doing is boiling things down for people into clear, actionable steps. You're giving them a framework to work from so that they don't have to create it themselves. The key point here is you are saving people time and mental energy, and people will 1000% pay for that. I know for myself, I was working on some social media content recently, and I'm like, shoot, this takes so much freaking mental energy. If I could just pay someone for like a template of ideas, or just like how to formulate my hooks or something like that, I would 1000% pay for that right now to speed up this process. So you could do something similar. Whatever it is that's giving your people a hang up and like they're getting stuck on, that's where your paid goods come in. Solve a problem with your paid goods. And sometimes that problem is just giving people steps to follow, or a framework, or clear actionable checklists, or cheat sheets, or whatever. Similarly, a course is usually a lot more in-depth than your free content. And it's also organized and clear and easy to follow step by step. It has a start point and an end point and a clear outcome that someone will achieve by following your teachings. There's no fluff. You just show up, you consume the content, you follow the steps, and you will get the results that you're looking for. And again, that is valuable, and people will pay a lot for that service to be provided for them. You are saving people time while teaching them a valuable skill that will serve them moving forward. A membership site is another type of online paid good that you could create. A membership site is where people would pay you monthly or annually to access private content that's only available for paying members. And a lot of times, memberships also involve a community aspect, like a private forum or a Facebook group, which is where a lot of the value comes from. And in terms of the content side of it, usually in a membership site, you're putting out content on a recurring basis, maybe weekly, monthly, quarterly, maybe even daily. I don't know. It depends on your business model and what you're offering. But since the content is updated frequently, people also find value in knowing that by being a member, you are going to keep them up to date on all the latest things they should be aware of, changes in best practices, etc. So that's just another thing off of their own personal mental load that they don't have to worry about. And they will happily pay you to provide this for them within your membership site. And then last, if you provide a service for people, either done for you or done with you or coaching of some kind, that provides accountability, which is also insanely valuable. Working with someone in a one-on-one fashion is usually a business owner's most premium priced offer because one-on-one time is very, very valuable. And so people, again, will happily pay you to work with you one-on-one to hear guidance for their unique situation straight from your mouth, to help them apply it to their specific situation, and to give them the accountability piece and check-ins over time to help them implement and make progress on their goals. So your free content is really not competing with your paid content. Your paid content adds value on top of your free content. Tip number two, plan your free content strategically. Generally speaking, the goal of your free content is to both serve your audience and grow your audience. So in the blogging space, one of the best ways to bring new people into your ecosystem is to do keyword research as part of your content planning process. And I know I've talked about this several times, but keyword research is basically doing your homework before you write a blog post. So not just coming up with something willy-nilly off the top of your head and writing it and posting it and just hoping that the world will find it. There's actually a strategy involved. And I personally did not understand this for a really, really long time as a blogger and as a content creator. And it held me back. And I just wish that I knew about it years and years before so that I could have reached more people and made a bigger impact with the content that I was working so hard on. So there are a variety of tools to find keywords that you can write about. Keywords are just phrases that people are typing into the Google search bar. My favorite one that I recommend to beginner bloggers is a tool called KeySearch. It's $17 a month. And with this tool, you can basically type in whatever topic you're thinking about writing about, and it will bring up a huge list of actual search terms that real humans are typing into Google when they're looking for stuff every single month. And even better, you can see how many times people are typing it in each month. You can see how difficult the competition is to rank at the top of the search results for that topic. If there's already a bunch of really high authority websites who have published blog posts on that topic, then it's probably going to be pretty difficult for a smaller, lesser known website, like your own perhaps, to slide in there and get a spot on the first page. So just realistically speaking, it's often better to target lower difficulty topics to write content about. So let's say you type in the word vegan, you're scrolling through, and you see the phrase vegan snacks for toddlers. Let's pretend that's a keyword phrase people are typing in that a lot of big websites hadn't already written about. So let's pretend the difficulty was relatively low. If that fits for your niche, if you are focused on the intersection of pediatric nutrition and veganism, then you could take it upon yourself to create a blog post about vegan snacks for toddlers. And if you do it properly and you structure it in a way that Google likes, then you have a shot at potentially getting on the first page of the search results and getting hundreds or thousands of people to your website reading that piece of content every single month. When they search for vegan snacks for toddlers, you will be on the first page of the Google search results as an answer to that person's search query. And the higher you can get your piece of content to appear on the first page, the more clicks you'll get. And then you simply do that again and again and again for a bunch of different phrases that your ideal customer is looking up. And through that process, you eventually create a large enough repository of content on your website that it brings hundreds or thousands or even millions of your ideal customers to your website every single month. And that is priceless. I mean, attention is everything online. Once you get in front of someone, then you have that golden opportunity to get them on your email list, to convert them into raving fans, to get them to connect with you as a human, and then present them with an opportunity to purchase something from you that will genuinely help them. The goal here is to build a relationship with them and continue to serve them. But if you have no current way of getting in front of your ideal people, creating SEO-optimized content on your website can be an excellent way to do so. So my point here is you want to make sure that you are planning the free content that you're creating strategically, that you understand why you're publishing it, what the intention is behind it, who you are potentially attracting by putting out that piece of content, and making sure that it's all related to the whole point of your brand and business. So there's sort of like two ends of the spectrum here, and you want to avoid both of these. So you don't want to be just coming up with random topics off the top of your head, whatever pops into your mind for on any given day, and publishing about that. That's not really serving anyone in particular, and it's not creating a cohesive, enjoyable, helpful resource on the internet for a specific person to find and consume. But on the flip side, you don't want to go too headfirst into the SEO optimization realm and only publish stuff on low difficulty keywords, because if you get too far in the weeds there, you could end up publishing sort of an amalgamation of not really related content, kind of like one-off small questions that people have, but it's missing the bigger picture of what is the point of your brand? What is the point of your website? Who are you truly helping and serving? And not just rehashing what a zillion other people have already said. You need to create a true brand and a business. So SEO and strategic content planning is a part of that. You want to make sure that you're taking the time to plan your free content strategically, understand why you're building it, and what the intention is behind it. Tip number three, use that free content that you're putting out to strategically grow your email list. So once you've figured out how to put out content on your website that attracts people from search engines, you'll find that you're getting hundreds or thousands of people to your site every single day. At that point, it's a golden opportunity to offer them something for free in exchange for joining your email list. These are typically known as opt-ins or lead magnets, and there's many, many types, but they typically perform the best if the thing that you're offering someone relates to the topic of the blog post they're reading or a core need that you know your audience has. So let's pretend you just did a blog post on 10 best gluten-free items at Trader Joe's. You could perhaps create a PDF that's like a shopping list of your favorite Trader Joe's gluten-free items. Maybe it's organized by aisle for easy shopping. So it's like your gluten-free must-haves from Trader Joe's or something. And maybe you update it every year since we know Trader Joe's often cycles products in and out. Once you've created that asset, you then use your email service provider, I use ConvertKit, to create a form that you can embed on your website or display as a pop-up or a banner where someone can type in their email and their name usually, and then once they enter that information, they are automatically added to your email list and sent the document that they requested automatically. This is all set up on the back end using your email service provider. Again, I use ConvertKit. I love them, highly recommend. And they do have a free plan available so that you can test drive it without even having to pay anything. If you're interested, I can throw my affiliate link for that below this video. So the point is here, you put out the free content to reach your people. A certain percentage of those people that you're reaching with your free content may then decide to opt into your email list. Then you can communicate with them at least once a week, ideally, to keep that relationship going. And then periodically, you may also pitch your paid products or services to them via email. Your email list is a huge, huge asset and a great way to make sure that you maintain your direct connection with your audience, regardless of what happens with any of the algorithms on any platform. Because if you send an email, it's landing in someone's inbox. Unlike places like Instagram, where you're like, hey, you know, 10 people saw this reel that I spent 2 hours on, or I wrote this blog post, took me all Saturday, and it's not ranking for anything. Like, that can happen when you're creating free content. But when you send an email to someone and they are subscribed to your list, they're gonna get it. They may not open it, but they're at least getting it. You're getting the chance to serve them through email. And then once you have a really good, high quality list, the selling part becomes easy. Tip number four is quality over quantity. So yes, creating free content is amazing for attracting people to your brand, but you really want to make sure that your free content represents some of your best work. It would be a mistake, in my opinion, to focus all of your time on doing paid content and then skimp out on what gets put out for free. Your free content is a marketing tool for you and your brand. It's meant to show people how amazing you are and attract them to working with you. And that's the best kind of marketing. That type of marketing feels good. You're simultaneously helping and serving people while attracting them to you for free. You don't have to spend any money on ads, although of course you could also do ads. There's no shame there. It's amazing if you can do both, but organic content marketing is available for everyone at no cost besides your time. You just have to understand the strategy. But it can and does work for businesses of any size. Whether you're just starting out or you've been around for years, there's a reason that people put out content to serve their audience. It works, and it's a great, great way to grow a brand. And if you put out evergreen content in the format of blog posts or YouTube videos, it's basically just a never-ending collection of assets that keeps on growing. Every time you put out a new post, it's another opportunity to get found via a Google search or a YouTube search and become visible to a brand new person who's looking for something. But what you don't want to do is start saying, oh, okay, well, the more free stuff I can get out, the more people I can get in front of, so I'm just going to start like sacrificing a little bit on the quality of the content, and I'm just going to go hard on quantity just because I want to get my content out there. And the reason why you don't want to skimp on the quality of the content and how well you're actually meeting the needs of the person reading the post is because you need to come back to the user experience. If someone is Googling something and they see, oh, you know, here's a blog post on this topic, you're up there at the top of the first page, and they click on your site, what happens if they don't like what they find? Then you kind of have a black check mark against your name for that individual reader, right? Like if they're searching for something else later on and they see your blog name in the search results, there's a chance that they might be like, eh, I'm not going to click on that one because last time I went to this site, it was not helpful at all. So you definitely don't want that. You don't want a negative association with your name and your content either. So I do believe it's worth it to make sure that every single piece of content you put out, you're proud of. And you're really confident that you're actually addressing the needs of your reader when they find that piece of content. And that's never been more important than in today's day and age with the helpful content updates that Google has been rolling out. Tip number 5, use your free and paid content to create a stepwise progression for people to work with you. So digital marketers often talk about understanding the customer journey, kind of like where your audience is right now and where they need to be in order to want to buy from you. So I'm just going to use myself as an example to flesh this out. My audience at the moment is largely dietitians and other food and wellness professionals. They're highly knowledgeable about nutrition or whatever their area of expertise is, but oftentimes they don't know that much about starting a website or creating content online or building digital income streams because we don't really learn about that in school for any sort of health-related field. So in my scenario, I need to do a lot of educating before someone may be ready to buy from me and learn how to blog and monetize, set up email funnels and all that. They need to understand why having a website and an online presence is important. They need to have a website in order to implement most of the things that I talk about. They also need to understand what SEO is. And then they need to connect the dots that creating SEO optimized content on their website is how they can reach people online. They also need to understand what digital income streams are available to them and how email marketing can help tie all of these things together. It's a lot of different topics that I could create free educational content around to help people understand what I'm talking about and how my paid stuff can help them and get them excited about learning and implementing it. So my Facebook group, my podcasts, my videos, my freebies, my blog posts, anything that I can put out there to attract people to my brand and get them into my ecosystem. That is the point of free content. And then whatever problem you like to solve for your audience, those bigger picture protocols or strategies and the step-by-step implementation of here's how you go from where you are right now to the result that you're looking for, all that step-by-step hand-holding type of stuff remains behind the paywall within your course or your membership or your one-on-one coaching or whatever. So use the free content to attract them to your brand. Then create levels of paid content or services that people can consume in different ways to meet their goals. So free content's out there for the people with no budget. Maybe you have a low tier paid product like an ebook for someone to download. Then maybe you have a middle tier DIY offer like a course. And then perhaps you have one-on-one services at the very top high end for someone who wants to work with you one-on-one. And finally, tip number 6, don't forget that you can still monetize free content. So sometimes people get a little demoralized because they're like, oh, you know, I have to pay the bills, Erica. Like, I can't just be spending all this time creating free content. But don't forget that after a certain amount of time, once you've built up a large enough collection of this free content, it can also make you money. Free content means free for your readers, but it doesn't mean that you won't see any financial return on the time investment that you've put in. For example, if you can get at least 10,000 people to visit your website every single month, you can join Mediavine's newest lower-tier ad network called Mediavine Journey. You can put display ads on your content and make money just from people viewing that free content. At that level of traffic, you could probably expect a few hundred dollars a month in ad revenue. You know, that's like paying for your vacation with your family or helping pay for preschool for your children. Like, that's nothing to scoff at. Same thing applies on YouTube. If you build your audience up high enough, you can monetize with display ads on YouTube as well. And it only goes up from there. So if you're able to hypothetically grow your audience to where you're getting 300,000 people coming to your website every single month, which, full disclosure, will probably take several years of work. If you are able to hypothetically make, let's say, a $20 RPM, so $20 per 1,000 people coming to your site every single month, that could be $6,000 a month. Just from display ads on your site, in addition to any other paid offerings you might have. And 300,000 visitors to your site probably sounds like a lot if you're currently at zero, but that's actually pretty moderate in the blogging space. So not only can you earn income from things that you sell directly to your audience, you can make money just from serving your audience through your free content as well, which I find super exciting because creating free content's like one of my favorite things to do. Another way you can earn from free content is by putting affiliate links into that content. So like, who should I use for my hosting provider? What theme should I use, etc.? And when I mention the ones that I use and recommend, I include my affiliate links. Of course, I disclose that they're affiliate links and that I will earn money if someone purchases through the link, but some percentage of the people going through the tutorial will click on those links and make a purchase. So for example, I made over $2,000 in income just from talking about recommended tech tools. So it's serving my people, it's bringing in some additional side income through affiliate recommendations, and it's positioning people to be more ready to sign up for something like one of my paid courses. And then one additional way that you can technically create free content for your audience that makes you money is by doing sponsored content as well. This is not an area that I have really personally dabbled in very much, but you just have to be confident in the value that you have, because if you have taken the time to build trust with your audience and a relationship, and the people who follow you trust your recommendations, then brands find that extremely valuable. There's a higher chance that that company will get higher conversion rates if the people you're recommending the product to genuinely trust your recommendations. Of course, you have to disclose in the content that it is sponsored, always, but that is just another possible way that you could monetize content that your readers get from you for free. And a newer stream that's been popping up recently is also monetizing newsletters with ads or sponsors. So if you build up a great connection direct with your people via email, you can offer advertisement spots within your newsletters as well. So there are certain people that I follow that do this that make very good money from sponsors. So for example, there's one guy who has over 200,000 people on his email list at the moment. He sends out one high-value newsletter every week, and he has two sponsorship spots available in each email. Each spot is selling for $3,500. So every single email that he sends out to his audience of 200 something thousand makes him $7,000 in paid advertisements directly negotiated with him, not through an ad network. If there's 4 weeks in the month, that is $28,000 per month just by sending out amazing newsletter content and getting companies who want to reach your audience to sponsor it. So as you can see, in the realm of monetizing free content, audience size plays a large, large role. If I took that same stance with my email list size of 7,000 people, and I did the same relative rate per subscriber, I could charge $150 per spot. If I sold two spots in each newsletter and I sent it out once a week, that would be $300 per newsletter. And $1,200 for the month, which is still fabulous. So perhaps something I might look into in the future. But I'm just trying to inspire you to get creative and think about all the different ways that you can serve people with incredible content and be compensated fairly as the creator. Another creative thing people do, sometimes people will even take multiple blog posts or social media posts that they've created and kind of bundle them together into a paid digital good, like an ebook or a worksheet or a checklist or something like that. So for example, I've interviewed people on this podcast who created a paid ebook based on tips that they had shared for free in their Facebook group. They just compiled all the tips, put them in one spot, and sold it as a low-ticket item on their website. You could do something like that too, 1,000%. Repurposing your content is always a great idea. Another example, there was this company, I think they're called like Simple Green Smoothies or something like that. But they did something where they put out like a 30-day smoothie challenge and they'd send you a different smoothie recipe every day for 30 days. And then at the end of the 30 days, they simply said, hey, would you like to purchase this all bundled together for you in an ebook? Here's the link to buy it for $19.99 or whatever. And a certain percentage of people will buy it. Because again, it's not about the information. They already got it for free every single day for the last 30 days in their inbox. They could, if they wanted to, open every email, save it, copy paste it into one doc, whatever, compile all the recipes for themselves for free. But oftentimes it's more about the convenience and the packaging of the information. Information is out there. Like, you could also just Google a different smoothie recipe every single day yourself. Like, that is 1,000% already out there on the internet. There's no like secret information really out there that no one could find anywhere else. It's the help with implementation that people are paying for. They're paying for the convenience of you packaging it up into an easy to follow process, of you explaining it in a very cohesive and comprehensive way that speaks to them or applies to them. So sometimes people are scared to put out free content. My goal was to help you understand how free content is actually insanely valuable and actually essential if you want to start building an online brand. You can't just hide behind a paywall. You have to be out there serving your people in public and putting out as much high quality, helpful content that you can to start building your brand. So that's it for today. Those are my 6 tips. Let me reiterate them again to wrap this up. Tip number 1 was don't worry about giving away all the goods. Tip number 2, plan your free content strategically so it serves your audience but also grows your audience at the same time. Tip number 3, use that free content to then grow your email list. Tip number 4, quality over quantity. Tip number 5, use your free and paid content to create a stepwise progression for people to work with you. And tip number 6, don't forget you can still monetize free content. And if you would like help with any of the things that I talked about, just head to my website, theunconventionalrd.com, and you can see all my available free content, offerings, and ways we can work together. So hopefully this was a valuable video for you. I had a blast talking through how to distinguish between free and paid content, and also why free content is valuable. Just as valuable, in my opinion, as your paid offers. You can connect with me anytime inside my private Facebook group, the Unconventional RD Community on Facebook. And if you've been enjoying any of these videos lately, don't forget you can hit the subscribe button to get notified whenever I put out new content. Thanks, and I will catch you in the next video.